The scripture reading for tonight you will find in the Old Testament, in the first book of Kings, of which we will read the entire chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. The word of the Lord. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. But it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said to her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, is there any spiritual change in your life because of COVID-19? Or are we getting used to it? Making already plans for the future. Have you ever wondered over these last couple of weeks, what is the outcome of this pandemic in my life spiritually? The widow in 1 Kings 17 could attest, now I know that the word of the Lord is true. She had learned, she had experienced through a dark time in her life, a time of drought, a time of death. Now, by this, I know. Do you know? Even now. No, precisely in these what we call then unprecedented times in which we live. That it is the Lord who gives us this time. Stay home time for many. But that the Lord calls each of us, invite us to trust and rest in Him. To know personally, experientially, His word is sure, is faithful, is truth. Will that be the outcome, the result of this period of pandemic for you and for me? That there is a deepening, an increased trusting and resting in the Lord. Not only by experiencing His providential care and concern for us, also in these last couple of weeks, and we don't know how many weeks before us, but life in Him, through death, through Christ's death and resurrection, to know now by this, I know that the word of the Lord is truth. And therefore I want to meditate with you with the help of the Lord on 1 Kings 17 and consider three main thoughts as the passage speaks of confidence, care and conviction. Confidence, care and conviction. In other words, how do I know that I now know that the word of the Lord is truth? And as 1 Kings 17 shows us, confidence in His word, care through His word, but also a conviction by His word. Congregation, the northern kingdom of Israel in the time of Elijah was a time of decline. Morally, through Ahab the king, we read in 1 Kings 16, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings before him. A man who was possessed with greatness, for example, the true false accusation took the field of Naboth. There was a decline in religion through the introduction of the Baal worship by Queen Jezebel, who came from Sidon, Baal, this Canaanite god, responsible for the rain and the thunder and the lightning and the dew, the so-called god of prosperity. And it was also a time of decline in the economy because of this sudden and unexpected and lengthy time of drought, of famine in the land, three and a half years. As you read in the opening of 1 Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab, there shall be not dew nor rain these years. But also, congregation, in these uncertain times of a plunging economy and religious and moral decline, we read in our chapter, the Lord God of Israel lives. For example, in the verses 1 and 12, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. What more? He speaks. 5 times we read in our chapter, the word of the Lord. Verse 2 and verse 8 and 14 and 16 and 24. In this time of crisis, there is a living God. And a living God who speaks, even now. As we read and read, the word of the Lord came, verse 2. And so it is, Lord, with capital letters, the covenant keeping and ever faithful God comes also to us tonight and speak to us and let us know I am the living God. The word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. He appears here in 1 Kings 17 for the first time in scripture, only to be announced coming from Tishbe in Gilead. Elijah, whose name is means, my God is Yahweh, my God is Jehovah. What a contrast with Baal, Lord with small letters. And the Lord speaks to Elijah. And Elijah did according to the word of the Lord, verse 5. He had confidence in that word. He trusted that word of God. He relied on his word. He obeyed his word. There was this confidence in his life because he knew, my God is Jehovah. I stand before a living God. So he announced himself, verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. And with that knowledge, he could even stand before Ahab, even opposed Ahab, and speaking the word of the Lord, speaking even of judgment, and called Israel to repentance. And because of that word of the Lord, Elijah submitted himself to the word of the Lord. And the Lord told him, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And then verse 5, we read, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he dwelt and went by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Congregation, is that what the word, God's word, does in our life? Because you know, you live before a living God. Or maybe I can ask you, because you know, by grace, my God is Jehovah. Even now, he is my covenant, keeping and faithful Lord. Not the Baals of our time, the gods who promise prosperity, economically or otherwise, but the living God is my God. Or do you not know? Moreover, that same word, does that word repentance in our life? As Elijah called Israel to repentance and a returning to the Lord in a time of crisis. But also what we see in this portion, for the prophet, the Lord give him a time to withdraw from public life, a time to pause because of the word of the Lord. Elijah followed the Lord upon his word. He went eastward and hid himself in the brook Cherith, stayed there in the wilderness. And in that time, in that, say, break time, he experienced the Lord's provision in a very unlikely way. Drink of the brook, not the glorious Jordan, but a brook Cherith, and be fed by the raven, unclean birds of prey. They will feed you bread and meat. Pausing in our life, but trusting the Lord and on his word. Experiencing his provision. Yeah, maybe also when your business is affected by the pandemic, when there are challenges in various ways, when you have to stay home, school, university, work, when your planning and timing now is so different than God's planning and timing in your life. Have we learned by grace these last couple of weeks what the psalmist says, to wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and on his word do I hope. There's a given hope. The word of the Lord came also tonight. It is a founded hope. It is a sure hope. In this given time, that we may learn not only to pause, but also that this time prepares and shapes each of us for a deepening and an increased trusting and resting in the Lord and his word. Maybe you have sung in the past, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. But now, if you see in our text chapter in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The brook dried up. Congregation, even when you have this given confidence in God's word, and you know this word, you can maybe cite it and recite it and remember it and attest it and even ascend to it. You have heard the call to repentance, and you, by grace, you obey his word, and you experience his provision in past time. It does not mean that at times the brook won't dry up. And did it mean that Elijah had sinned? No. That he was out of God's will? No. That God was displeased with him? No. But to be reminded also tonight, even when you have experienced God's word and his provision and grace, it does not spare us from affliction in certain times of your life. Times that the brook dries up in your life. Charles Spurgeon once asked, preaching on this passage, is there anyone here whose brook is drying up? Has it quite dried up? Appropriate question for our time, is it not? When many, many people are out of work, no or little income, or your finances and other resources are drying up. And then to see In this word, God's unchanging word, then and now, when the brook Cherith dried up, to be reminded, to redirect our lives to that river that never runs dry. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. Should it not be our prayer, O Lord, give us of this water? But also to see, as we see in this passage, when the brook Cherith dries up, God prepares a Sarephath, that the means may change, but the God of means changes not. Which brings us by our second point that speaks about care, God's care through his word. Because the Lord instructed the prophet to walk, say, 100 miles from east to the northwest to a city called Sarephath, nowadays at the coast of Lebanon, between Sidon and Tyre, where Jezebel came from. Thus the epicenter of Baal worship. There, Elijah would find a widow who would provide for him. Do you see that God is greater than the dry brook, or your dried up business, or the dried up circumstances in your life? Maybe they are here or listening, the lost job, or the deep disappointment, or a wounded spirit, or in times of perplexity. And again, Elijah obeyed God on his word. He walked the road and found a widow near the gate of the city gathering sticks. And she was down to her last bit of flour and oil. And so the decision had to be made to gather sticks, make a fire, bake a little loaf of bread for her young son and herself, and eat it and die. And again, a very unlikely situation. A widow woman, the least likely one to provide hospitality, an outsider of God's covenant people of Israel, facing death, and Elijah, a prophet of the living God, the God of Israel. We may ask what is going on here. Well, not only to be reminded that it was Christ who, like Elijah, once departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, but that Christ himself gave an answer what is going on in Luke 4. When Jesus had returned from the wilderness and preached in Nazareth, and he says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman who was a widow. What do we see here? Number of observations. The first, God is sovereign. There were many widows in Israel, but to none Elijah was sent, except to an outsider of Israel. And so he is sovereign then as he is now, in his dealings in the world affairs and in the affairs of our lives. Secondly, God is not only a God of one Israel, but to others as well. Even he reaches out to Baal worshippers. God mercifully sent the messengers. So we confess in the canons of Dort, then and now, to whom he will and at what time he pleases. Therefore, I think that the technology that we are using, it can be of such a great blessing to reach people. Even outside this building, outside our congregation, outside the church. The congregation always remember that God is sovereign and that he is inclusive is often resisted. At least in Christ preaching here in Nazareth, when they heard it in the synagogue, they were filled with wrath. They rose up, thrust them out of the city, led them to a hill, that they might cast him down headlong. But also what we see in this passage, particularly the verses 8 to 16, that the Lord is also a God of grace and a God of care. Because what do we see here? That the Lord cares for Elijah, but also for the widow and her son. In verse 8, the Lord had commanded Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." In verse 14 we read, "And thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall be a cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Why? Why, congregation? Because of the word of the Lord. We read in verse 8, "The word of the Lord came." In verse 16 we read, "According to the word of the Lord." And because of that sure and faithful word, that is this daily provision for them. "Don't be afraid," so the prophet encourages the widow. And we hear the same, to the same word of the Lord, "Fear not." Even in this time of trial and testing and troubling time, as it was for the widow. Elijah, this stranger, must have the first portion of her last meal, and yet she had faith enough to obey his word. But we read, "And the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord." The brook dried up, but now the flour was not spent, and the oil did not become empty, did not dry up, until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. 1, 2, 3 years, we don't know. Do you see, in the midst of this famine, God remembers mercy. He is a God of grace and care. God's care for his people never runs dry. As it was for God's covenant people in the wilderness journey, water from the rock, and the rock was Christ, the apostle reminds us, manna, daily provision and care to the Lord, to the entire journey of the wilderness of life, only cheese when they arrived in Canaan. And so it was here for the widow and the son and Elijah. And so it is now. And so it is now. Maybe you're listening and say, "What about the business? What about the seminary? What about my school? What about my work? What about my family?" Can you see that tonight? The Lord's care. Let us be practical. Maybe 10 days ago, when there was a paycheck at the end of the month, did it humble you? Undeserved. The widow had not asked for it. The Lord told Elijah, "I have commanded a widow to feed you." Not only undeserved, unworthy. The widow was an outsider of Israel, living in the midst of Baal, the prosperity religion of the day. Not only undeserved and unworthy, but also unassumed. It was the common way of providence, having daily provision. Meal and oil multiplied continually. Not the hoarding, but in the spending and the share. Have you now ever seen, also in this last couple of weeks, that it is so true what the Lord said? The Lord's care. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Does not the Lord says through Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, For I am God, and there is none else. In this time of pausing, in this time of stay home, look back in your life. Remember his care of the past. For I am the Lord, your God. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And therefore, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. These are the promises of the Lord in his word for his people. Sure and certain. Even when the Dow Jones is not doing well and people's retirement account is down, even when you don't know how tomorrow or the next day will look like, in these unlikely times, trust then that word. Is that word not more certain and more sure? Oh, trust in him all times, oh people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge also for us. As he was in the time of Elijah, so he is now. Can you then rest? Can you then rest in that word? And live your life even now according to the word of the Lord. Do you now know that personally, experientially appropriate with this heartfelt conviction, God's word entirely in his warnings and in his promises, this word is true, is truth, so that you can testify by grace. Now by this, I know. And that brings us by our last and third point. Congregation, so far we have seen in this chapter 1, Kings 17, that Elijah had confidence in that word of the Lord. He obeyed it. And Elijah and the widow and her son experienced God's care through that same word. Even when the brook of Cher dried up, the Lord provided somewhere else. But will the result be, in the time in which we live, as I asked in the opening of this night, will it give a deepening and increased trusting and resting in the Lord, so that you may testify and that you may acknowledge and testify by grace, now by this I know that the word of the Lord is truth. How can I know? Someone asked. And that is what we see in the verses 17 to 24. We could say part 3 of the chapter, where in the midst of these miracles and wonderful provisions and care of the Lord, part 1 is the brook Crit, and part 2 coming into Zarephath. And in the verses 17 to 23, part 3. When the widow's son took sick and died. He died. And the widow was beside herself with grief. And she blames the prophet. And she blames God. This was too much. And also it seems it was too much for Elijah. And sometimes we have those times in our life. Eh? As James reminds us, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Too much. What happened? Scattering news. So unexpected. Experiencing the Lord's care according to his word. And now, the son of the woman, so we read, became ill so severe that there was no breath left in him. Do we not read it daily? Not only feeling breathless because of COVID-19, but that thousands of people per day in our country exchange time for eternity. Devastating reality. Now and then, when affliction comes near us, it troubles and frightens us. The widow says to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son? Is it because of my sin?" This dire situation convicts her. But Elijah is devastated as well, verse 20. He cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have thou brought calamity, evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by killing her son?" What do we see here? Congregation, that we live in a fallen world with fallen people. Death entered into the world, death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Are you convicted of that? Or do you see the news, you read the news, it's far away. Or does it give you to pulse? There comes a day for all of us that we will die. The widow did not understand what was going on. The prophet did not understand what the Lord is doing. Maybe you don't understand, and I don't understand the global pandemic either. And when we don't understand those things in our life, and let us be honest tonight, sometimes we complain. And not only to God's people, we see here the widow. She did not understand God's way. And she complained to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God?" But also Elijah complains to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why this evil? Why this calamity?" It reminds us that God's word is also very honest and clear. Eh? In times of devastation and times of pain and times of darkness and death and pandemic, that it is okay to cry and to complain. Do we not hear the psalmist cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Elijah cries out, but to the Lord. He brings it all to the Lord. This calamity, he clings to the Lord. And you, in these challenging times, maybe personally or professionally, at home or at work, complain or clinging to the Lord? And what more do we see here, thirdly? Not only the power of prayer, but the power of him who hears prayer. That there is here a deeper need to realize your deepest need. Material blessings and providences and provisions are ways to know the Lord. But to know him through death, there is life. Through suffering, there is salvation. Through darkness, to light, to know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection. Because, congregation, note, the passage of this scripture here is structured in a particular way. Biblical scholars would say a crisscross, an A, B, C, A, B. We see that here in the verses. In both the beginning and the end of the passage, the A part, in the verses 18 and 24, the widow addresses Elijah as man of God. The A part. And then we read in verse 19 that Elijah takes the son from the widow, the B part, and give me your son, the dead son, and gives him, in verse 23, back to his mother as a living son. Elijah took the child, the little boy, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother and said, and Elijah said, see, your son lives. A, B, and then in the middle, the C part, the verses 20 to 22. The most important part, where the prophet cries to the Lord, why this calamity? He stretches himself three times over the child and he cries to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord answers through the resurrection unto life. Because we read, and the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And then we read, Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know by this that the word of the Lord is true. And that word know in the original point, not only that she acknowledged it, but she was now acquainted by it. She had learned it by experience personally. She knew it deeply and transformatively in all her heart and soul. The word of the Lord is true. The Lord is a living God. This living God hears prayers, but also answers prayer. And the Lord revives death unto life. Oh, congregation, you may ask, why must we not go to Christ and him alone then? Through this miracle, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah showed himself a forerunner of him, Christ, who not only raised the dead to life, but who raised from the dead and is the resurrection and the life. See here in the center of the verses 20 to 22, Elijah intercedes, O Lord my God, nothing else remains. But in the midst of death, he turns to his only hope, O Lord my God. Elijah acts as a substitute for the widow, for the child. He stretches himself three times. And Elijah believes in the resurrection. Let this child's soul come into him again. Living with the hope of the resurrection is life-changing even now. Of which Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believe in me, true he were dead, yet you shall live. Truly living, real living. And then I ask you tonight, is that now the center of your life in the time in which we live? Maybe losing everything from your sight, with all the experiences in your life, of outward blessings and provisions and care. But this remains, O Lord, my God, you can't miss him anymore. But to come to the cross of Christ, where he, with stretched out arms, invites, welcomes, also tonight sinners, substituting for all his people. and then to come to him, to the cross, maybe with your anxiety about the time in which we live, maybe with your concerns over an uncertain future, with your sin and your shortcomings, and to bring everything to that cross of Christ and leave it there. And then to realize, maybe many brooks have dried up in your life, but there at the foot of the cross, to experience here, is a fountain filled with blood that never runs dry, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, wash all my sins away. And then to see through darkness and death, there is life in him. As we read in verse 22, and the Lord heard. So he does now, even today. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. He revived. Now I know there is a living God who answers prayer. A living high priest who intercedes, who prays at the right hand of the Father, even now, that your faith will not cease. Yes, maybe a struggling faith, maybe a feeble faith, maybe a refuge-taking faith. But now I know. Spurgeon comments here on verse 24. Did she not know this before? And he answered, yes, else she would not have given him the portion of her meal. She must have known it, for she had been living for a long time upon meal and the oil which he had multiplied. But now she said that she knew it as if she had never known it before. God has a way of bringing truth home to the heart with such vividness that though we have been perfectly acquainted for years, yet we are compelled to testify tonight. Now I know. Now I know it as I never had before. Now I grasp it. I embrace it with my very soul. Through death and resurrection, she can testify, now by this, I know that the word of the Lord is truth. Pause then for a moment. Evaluate and see your life in light of the death and resurrection of Christ, even now. You have heard God's word many times. How many times from this pulpit? And you may testify of God's provision in your life, even perplexing times. But his resurrection and his life, commemorated so recently, changes everything. It gives hope, it offers trust, and it offers rest. To whom else shall you then go? The Lord God lives. Elijah can say, see, thy son liveth. Tonight we hear, see, his son, Christ, lives. As the apostle says, Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, revived by his words. Should that not give you more? Should that not give you a deep and convicting reliance on him, on Christ, and resting in him and trusting him and him alone? O congregation, would that not be a blessed outcome of these last couple stay-home weeks? Now I know by this that the word of the Lord is truth. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come to thee at the close of this service and will use thine own word to revive us, to direct us to thee and to thee alone. And that the outcome of these past couple weeks, with all its challenges, may give us by experience and grace to say, now I know by this that the word of the Lord is truth. Lord, will apply thy word to all our hearts, that is the fruit of thy word, to cling unto thee, to obey thee and walk after thee, according to thy word. Lord, be with us the furnace of this week. Go before us, that we may meditate upon thy word often, and come often in thy presence at thy throne of grace. We ask these things in the forgiven